Will Ford's going to be here Sunday. Don't miss Sunday. Bring somebody with you. And, you know, February is Black History Month, and there's a lot of great things that, you know, we can attribute to various African-American inventors and scientists and politicians and all those things. But I think the best thing that we could say is that there is a heritage of prayer that Will Ford is going to bring forth Sunday that's going to blow your mind. And we've had the kettle, the prayer kettle, in the West location since he got stuck in Chicago. And it's been there that whole time. I don't know, weighs about 200 pounds. I mean, it's a big thing. And he's going to give you the history of it, and it's going to be tremendous. So please don't miss this Sunday. It's going to be awesome. All right, let's go to Bible. Acts chapter 27. And if you don't have a Bible, you can look on the screen. I think we're going to have the scriptures up there. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Turn that thing off. Acts chapter 27 and verse 20. And this is Paul. His story, he was in this ship, and he was on his way to Rome as a prisoner. He had appealed to Caesar. And something occurred in this chapter. The storm hit, and this ship was reeling and rocking. And this is their testimony. And I want to read this verse because it kind of gives us a description of sometimes our own lives. Neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us. And from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Now think about that for a minute. Haven't seen the sun and haven't seen the stars for many days. They can't even remember the last time they saw it. And the storm was relentless, assailing the ship. It was attacking the ship. And they had reached the point that they had fought so much and for so long and hadn't seen the sun or the stars for so long. That means they had no idea where they were because they charted by the stars. Had no hope then of making it because they had given up hope. They abandoned hope. And sometimes in our life, circumstances are relentless. They don't quit. Circumstances keep assailing us. Just when you get out of this financial struggle, you get into another financial struggle. Or just when you resolve this conflict, you get another conflict. And you think, God, you know what? I'm done. This is it. This is over. I am so done with this. Have you ever felt that way? But you realize something about your covenant and your connection with God. Because they had come to a place where they were gradually abandoning hope. But I want you to know that Paul wasn't part of them. He did not abandon hope. And the reason why he didn't abandon hope because of where he was standing. And that's real important when you're facing relentless battles. And I believe we are going to face some real tough battles in 2013. They're going to come from every side. Uncertainty looms, there's no doubt. But not for the believer who doesn't let go of the expectation of rescue. Now, those around you are going to influence you. Understand that the majority of those that were traveling with him had given up hope, the expectation of rescue, the expectation of things changing, the expectation of something good happening to me. They were persuaded by no sun, no stars, and an assailing of a storm against them over a long period of time that the rescue and the hope of deliverance had vanished. Don't ever let circumstances wear your hope thin, or don't give in and listen to the wrong people. I like to say it this way. Be careful who you talk to when sun and stars refuse to appear in your life experience. Because if you're not careful, you'll start talking to people whose life is only partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain. And in a moment when I haven't seen the sun or stars, I gotta talk to somebody that can see beyond the clouds. And they were talking themselves out of hope. What little hope you may have can be pulled from you because of the mentality of those that are journeying with you. You know, I realized the other day when I was on an airplane, I never met these people in my life. Suddenly now, we're all passengers going the same direction. What happens to them could happen to me. If there's turbulence and the plane shakes to the right, our heads are all going to go to the right. Did you ever watch that? If you're sitting in the back, I was in row 34 or something, so I'm watching all these people. And the plane's bouncing, and everybody's responding the same way. And as I was contemplating this scripture, I said, wait a minute. We might be passengers heading the same direction, but my journey is not defined by the circumstances or atmospheric pressures, because I have a hope that goes beyond my circumstances. This is what Paul was trying to say. So when you're in those situations, be careful who you're talking to. When everyone around you has given up hope, refuse to join the forecast. Sometimes when I listen to the weather forecast in the morning, they'll say 3 to 6 inches of snow, roads are impossible, you have to stay home. I'm like, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm not receiving that forecast. I heard it this morning at 4:30. They were giving us a forecast of 3 to 6 inches of snow. I said, no, today's Wednesday. I refuse that forecast. The next time I looked at it, it was about 7:45, 1 to 3 inches. I said, now, who's your daddy? You know, I just refuse to believe. I just, wait a minute. I don't, just because you're forecasting that doesn't mean I have to live and adjust myself to it. So Paul's realizing if you can't hold on to hope, then allow hope to hold on to you. Look at Acts chapter 27, verses 22 and 25, because this is amazing. It was in that night when they had given up hope, something happened to Paul. And I want to encourage you that if you're in that point where you have been travailing and you have really been standing and you haven't seen sun and you haven't seen stars and the storms have been assailing you and everybody up around you is giving up on hope, I want to encourage you to do what Paul did. Look at verse 22. He says, yet now I urge you to keep your courage. I urge you to keep your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Paul's saying, look, be encouraged. You're not going to die. But the thing that you're trusting in, the thing that you're journeying in, riding in, oh, it's going to break apart. But you're going to live. Now, in their minds, naturally, they're going, yeah, right. How am I going to live if what I'm trusting in is going to break apart? Sometime a breakup is nothing but a setup. And if things in your life right now are breaking up, it's all right, because God can break up things to set you up for something greater. How many believe that? You got to look at the storms of life that way. You have to look at opposition that way. You have to look at the circumstances where there's no sun and stars and go, wait a minute, my God must be up to something. I believe God is about to do something great in my life. Continue the verse, please, in 23. For this very night, say that with me. This very night. Would you say it again? This very night. What night? The night everybody gave up hope. This very night. What night? The night that they had abandoned hope. Everybody had abandoned hope. But Paul said, this night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, what did he say? Stood by me. Stand by me. Come on. Stood by me. He said, in the place where everybody was forecasting doom and gloom, where everybody believed it was over, the God whom I serve and belong, an angel on that very night came and stood by me. Look at verse 24. Saying, don't be afraid, Paul. How many know God knows your name? Amen. Oh, I'm going to insert my name right there. Don't be afraid, Lou. Don't be afraid. I've got a plan for you. I've got a destiny. I've got a future. I've got a hope. I've got your name on my mind. Yes. He was talking to Paul. And he said, I want you to know you're going to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. See, my hope, my confidence, my faith in my expectation of deliverance is not only for my good, but for everybody else on the airplane. Sometimes I believe we got to our destination because I was one of the passengers. Sometimes I believe that I saw the prosperity of the business because I was one of the employees. You see, you have an authority and an overflow into the lives of those that are connected to you. That's why Paul said, listen, you're with me, it's going to be all right. Because I just got a word from an angel of the Lord. Did we get to verse 25 yet? No, go to verse 25. Therefore, or because of this, because I belong to God, because the one I'm serving has showed up in the same night you all gave up hope, because he said we're going to make it, the ship's going to be lost, but if you stay with it, you're going to make it too. Because of all that, keep up your courage, men, for I believe. Come on, let's read it. I believe, God, that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. I went in the bathroom today, looked right in the mirror, and I said, hey, I believe it's going to turn out exactly the way I was told. Because everybody else is forecasting 3 to 6 inches. Everybody else is forecasting a storm. Everybody else is giving up and abandoning hope. Everybody else is saying it's not going to work. But you have to understand something. We're a peculiar people. In the middle, when it doesn't make any sense, all of a sudden I get an appearance from the God I serve. And suddenly he stands by me and he embraces me and tells me it's going to be all right. Therefore, I have to begin to speak to my situation and say, I believe that it's going to turn out exactly the way God said that it was going to turn out. I'm going to see what he said. It's going to manifest the way he told me. Let me just say this. God is going to put an island in your life. He has a paradise waiting for you in the midst of the storm. That's exactly where this story goes, you know. Paul ends up in an island. Paul ends up in a paradise. But in the midst of the storm, he had no idea that's where he was going, but God did. God said, it's all right what the devil meant for evil, I'm going to use. I'm going to let that wind of adversity blow and get you to where I want you to go. The devil thinks he's going to destroy you, but I'm standing next to you. It's going to happen the way I told you. Don't listen to all of them. Have hope in God, because I'm going to let what the devil would have used to destroy you to get you to where I know you're going to benefit and others are going to benefit as well. Because when you arrive, you bring favor. You bring the presence of a living God. He said, there stood by me. I believe, good God, that it will turn out just as he told me. In other words, whose report are you going to believe? Do you remember that old song? We used to sing it, whose report? I said, yeah, how's that go? Believe the report of the Lord. Yeah, that was the one. Remember that? How many know that song? Okay, about half of you. The other half never heard that? How many have never heard that song before? Okay, we're going to whip it up. We're going to do it again sometime. Okay, we have to whip that one up. You got to realize there's a report out there. And you're going to have to make a decision which one you're going to believe. Let me give you an insight. The report of the Lord is going to be the still small voice. The report of the Lord is not going to make logical sense. The report of the Lord is going to be the minority. The majority are going to say, we abandon hope. There's no way out of this. It is going to get worse way before it gets better. But you're going to have to remember whose report are you going to believe. Paul said, I believe, God, that it will be just as it was told me. No loss of life. The only thing you have been relying upon is what's going to be lost. The ship. But if you stay with it, you'll be saved. Now, you know, that was a real act of faith. Because when the ship's broken up and all you have is a plank, it's like, what do I need this piece for? If the whole piece couldn't save me, What is this little piece going to do to save me now? Sometimes God reduces the natural down to minutia, so that when you look around, you see nothing else but Him. You think, the only thing holding me up is not this thing. There must be a God. Somehow God allows circumstances to bring us to the place where we know, but God. Come on, say it with me, but God. Look at someone and say, but God. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's only God that can hold you up in the middle of a storm. So you got to ask yourself, am I relying more on the natural or am I relying on the supernatural? My breakup is nothing but a setup. I'm not nervous. Notice something. The night when I had given up. Verse 20 says it was the same time when all hope was gone that God showed up. I don't know why God operates that way sometimes. I'm saying, God, I know you're never late and you're always on time, but it sure feels like you're late sometimes. Have you ever felt like God said, hey, God, yo, you know I'm down here. Hey, come on, bill's due tomorrow. Have you ever wanted to know what God was doing? Yeah, I don't get it. It was on the night when they gave up hope that God showed up. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that in the natural. And God said, look, I was there all the time. The circumstances were manifesting in your life and caught your attention. And you didn't hear me until you got desperate. I was there talking the whole time. I think the angel of the Lord was trying to get Paul's attention. I think God was trying to get the ship's attention. I think God's trying to get the church's attention. I think God's trying to get America's attention. But sometimes we don't listen to God as long as we've got hope that we can get there on our own. Or it hasn't gotten bad enough. Or the storm isn't impending enough. It's not imposing enough. So we think we're all right. But suddenly when things start breaking apart, we start looking for alternatives. And we find there's nothing left but God. But that's okay. Because God is rich in mercy. And all you have to do is cry out to Him. All you got to do is call upon Him. You may have lost your ship, but you haven't lost your faith. There's some things that I've lost and broken up in my life, and I think, God, I seem like I'm going backwards. He said, don't measure your progress based on the natural. Don't measure your progress based on the accumulation of the natural. Measure your progress by your persuasion that it's going to turn out just like I told you it's going to turn out. Measure your faith based on your adherence to what I had to say, that you have refused to conform to everybody else's opinion. It was told me it will be. Start telling the story. You got to start telling your story. Seaweed in your hair, sopping wet, hanging onto one plank. And you need to start singing, I love to tell the story. You see, God's got a plan for my life. I don't know why He allowed this seaweed all over me and me be sopping wet and hanging on this plank. But I know that God will turn this thing around because He appeared to me. He stood by me. And He's going to make this thing work for my good. Here's the key. You and I have got to stand where He stands. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 says. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, remember when Paul said, the angel stood by me and said, you're going to get to where you need to go? In other words, Paul had to get out of his stand and get into the stand of God's declaration. So when you've done all that you have to stand or can stand, then you've got to stand in what God has declared. And sometimes you just have to move one step to the right or one step to the left. And you're right in the middle of God's perfect plan. Paul told them to stay in the ship or they cannot be saved. Because when there's only pieces remaining, when there's only fragments of what your expectation was, it doesn't make logical sense. So many young preachers end up quitting because they feel like they've lost or they're losing grip. They give up because people walk out on them or betray them. And Dr. Lester Sumrall, one of my major mentors in my life, had a great sermon. He preached this. He said, I did not quit. And he talked about how the temptation to give up and to quit in ministry is so strong because everything around you seems to be breaking up. And you're not growing as a church. You're declining in numbers as a church. You're not expanding in vision. You are contracting in vision. And you think, well, surely this is the evidence that I ought to quit and give up because I'm not doing what I should be doing. Look at the pastor down the road, or look at this family over here, or look at this business here. They're flourishing, but I'm having difficulty and having trouble. Remember, be careful. Don't start listening to partly cloudy and a slight chance of rain. Get a different forecast. Change the channel. Understand that God said it's going to happen just like I told you. I have a plan and a destiny for you. Let your faith lead you. And don't let the abandonment of your hope creep in based on circumstances. Don't become logical. Become supernatural and believe that God is able to do exactly what He's promised in His word to you. The Holy Spirit desires to carry you. Not that airplane. Sometimes I fly home on an airline, but I have to tell you, I might be in an airplane, but beyond the airplane and sitting on some seat that's supposed to be my life preserver, should we have a water landing. Do you ever hear him say that? In the case of a water landing, folks, planes don't land in the water coming down from 35,000 feet. They crash in the water. You know, I don't get that. There, let's talk so calm. In case of a water landing, just pull your seat as a flotation device and put it over. And the people are showing you on the little video. They're all smiling. Oh, you know, we have an emergency. The plane's crashing, but I think I have another Diet Coke. You know, that's not reality, is it? But I know that inside the plane, I'm sitting on something natural. I'm sitting on this step. But under that step is the very hand of God holding me up. I don't have reliance on this step. I have reliance on the unseen, invisible power and might of God that surrounds my underpart. And He upholds me and makes my feet like hinds' feet. You see, God's got your back. God's got you covered in the middle of a storm. Because if you can trust what He told you, even though the natural doesn't support it, He's going to lead you to a place of rest. You know, the devil wants to put disease on us. Dis-ease. I believe God wants us to live a life of ease. And dis-ease is nothing but the stress and strain on life. You know, doctors say 90%, up to 90% of the physical illnesses we suffer are as a result of stress. Mental anguish, wringing of the hands, talking to partly cloudy and a slight chance of rain, listening to the forecast of gloom and despair. And chiming in with all the other shipmates that we're not going to make it, and we abandon hope. And suddenly you have an entire population of 90, up as high as 90% sick in the hospitals because of stress. Sitting on a natural step instead of realizing God's hand under that step. Sitting on an airplane in turbulence instead of realizing that He's got the whole world in His hands and I'm in His hands. And this plane, ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to all of you, please be quiet. This plane cannot go down. I'm on it. And I have to preach Sunday. And I'm going to preach Sunday, so everybody be okay. You're all right. Relax. Right? Oh, man. And somebody in the back goes, man, I'm glad I'm on here with that guy. He said it was going to be okay. They're not going to believe that. They're going to believe the circumstances, right? I like to say, put an island in your life. You're on your way to a miracle. Look at Acts 28, verse 4, please. If you could put it on the screen for me, I'd appreciate that. You see, when they did get to the island, there were, am I doing something wrong that I need to fix? What should I do? I don't know if I'm static. Am I all right? Yeah, okay. Okay. Anyway, he gets to the island, and the natives all look at him and think, wow, these people made it. And Paul's gathering sticks. You know this story? He's gathering sticks to make a fire. That tells you a lot about servant leadership, doesn't it? So he's putting a fire together, get everybody warm. And out of the bundle of sticks, a viper comes out and attaches itself to his hand. And it's a venomous serpent. And Paul's standing there with this serpent hanging from his hand and the venom going into his body. And this is what they say. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began to say one another, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain. In other words, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Right? Isn't that what they said? Justice has not allowed him to live. But then in verse 5, the Bible said Paul took his hand and shook the creature off. And where did he put it? Into the fire, and then suffered no harm. Now this is an interesting little insight to this experience. And we could teach just on those two verses. But I want to bring out a couple of points. The viper fastened to his hand because of the fire. The viper attached to his hand because of Paul's resolution to make a fire, to build a fire, to prepare for fire. In other words, oftentimes when you press in to the Holy Spirit, you press in to the fire of God, vipers will do their best to attach themselves to you to somehow stop you and intimidate you, because the fire that you're building of the Holy Spirit is not only for your benefit, but for everybody that came on shore that was on the ship. And here's the goodness of God. Every one of them didn't believe they were going to make it. And when they got to the ground, they were like those passengers on that carnival triumph. They were kissing the dock, because they had been 4 or 5 days out stranded with no power. And when they got to the land, they were so thankful. Can you imagine being an old wooden ship in a nor'easter, or actually a hurricane, having seen sun and stars for many, many days, having been able to steer the ship because of its being assailed by the storm, everybody abandoning hope, and now they're on the island. It's a paradise. And Paul, what he does is he builds a fire. He prepares to build a fire, and God allows all of them to benefit from the warmth or from the radiance of the flame. This is the beauty of God's grace. Matters not what I said while we were getting there. This is why I'm so thankful that you don't have to be a premier member of the church. You don't have to be ideal. You could be a thief, not tithing. You could be somebody that doesn't pray, kind of living carnal, kind of spiritual, but you're still on the ship. But my faith, Pastor Tossie's faith, your faith. In other words, we believe God that it's going to happen just like God said. And you're over there whining and crying and, oh, God, help me, and all of that. But you're with us. Hallelujah. And because you're with us, we're going to build a fire. And when we get there, this fire is not only good for me, but it's going to be good for you. But the enemy's going to do everything he can to stop me from building the fire. But here's how I look at it. If he can't stop me from believing God in the middle of a storm, if he can't stop me when everybody's telling me partly cloudy and a chance of rain, how is he going to stop me now when he latches onto my hand, when I know that the fire of God is what it's going to overtake, and I just shake him off into the very presence of the living God? I want you to know God is going to bring people from east, north, south, west. God's going to bring backsliders, mid-sliders, front-sliders, up-sliders, down-sliders. And they're all going to be gathering because we're building a fire. And nobody's going to say, well, where you been? Hey, how come you didn't believe God? No, we're all going to be so thankful that we have the proximity of the power and the presence of God, because God is good all the time. Amen? God is good all the time. Hallelujah. See, when God's fire heats up your life, that enemy is going to seek to attach itself to you. But stop listening to what others are erroneously prophesying about you. I just look at it this way. I'm going to get a little closer to the fire. They're going to say, well, you should have died in the ship. You don't have any right to be here. You must have been justice is served. Listen, you can make all the opinions you want to. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that God is able, that He loves me. He's got a plan for my life. Have I done everything right? No. Have I crossed all my T's and dotted my I's? Absolutely not. Have I been obedient in every aspect of my life? Absolutely not. But God's grace and His mercy have brought me this far. And His grace and His mercy will bring me home. I believe God has an island in my future. I believe God has a paradise waiting for me, but not just to save me. The end of the story is quite peculiar, because sometimes out of the wind of adversity, God will use that wind to take the seed of His word and plant yet another tree, of which the leaves, according to Revelation 22 and 2, will bring healing to the nations. Healing to the nations. You see, God used that adversity of the enemy to take the seed of His word out of Paul's life and get it to an island that was filled with sickness and disease. Torment of the devil. I don't know why sometimes the enemy thinks he can destroy me. All he does is propel me. All he does is God using His energy to get me where He can use me most effectively. Look at this last verse in Acts 28. This is so cool. Verse 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him. And after he prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. It wasn't in Paul's mind to stop at this island. Paul didn't get a word from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord to Paul, there is my servant Publius lying sick with dysentery. He is going to die of fever. Therefore I command thee, Paul, to stop off on your way to Rome and lay hands on him and bring him healing. God didn't say that. The devil said, I'm going to come and steal, kill, and destroy. If the Romans won't kill Paul, I'll kill Paul. And I'll destroy everything in Paul and with Paul. And God said, not on my watch. Paul, stand in my stand. Got him to the place of God's purpose. Paul had no knowledge of this situation. All he knew is he had a word that God said, it will happen just like I told you. And what he told him was, he's going to Rome. He didn't say anything about this healing ministry. So sometimes we have to stop trying to over-spiritualize stuff and just be a servant of God. And where we find ourselves, release the grace of God in the lives of others. Paul went into him and prayed, laid hands on him and healed him. Then watch this. So when this was done, right? Verse 29, is that right? Verse 9? Yeah, verse 9? Yeah, there it is. After this had happened, or when this was done, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him. And what was happening to them? All of them were getting cured. Suddenly, there's a healing revival on this island, and all of them start coming to Paul and say, could you pray for me too? And could you pray for my mom? And could you pray for my dad? Could you pray for my brother? My sister, my little baby's sick. Can you pray for this? My neighbor, my friend, this paralytic. This person's got a tumor. This got cancer. This one had the fever just like that dude did. Can you lay hands on him? And Paul said, absolutely. And God, Paul found himself in a God-appointed moment and place. Don't let the storms of life convince you that you're not on your way to a God-appointed place. Realize that God has a perfect plan, and there's no devil in hell, in the earth, that can change His perfect plan for your life. I like to say this, all because the sun nor the stars appeared, no small tempest beat upon them, all hope was given up by everyone but one. It only takes one. Sometimes I have to admit, I said, Lord, if I could just get half the people in our church, just get half of them. He said, why do you need half? I said, well, I don't know. Can I just have a quarter? Why do you need 25%? All you need is one. And that one can be you. Paul didn't give up like everyone else did. Can I encourage you tonight not to give up? Can I encourage you to be the one, not the everyone? Can I encourage you tonight that you are the but one? Can we be the church in this region, the but one church, that still believe God? That would still worship in fervency, that would still live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that would still believe no matter what struggle, trial, or temptation, that it will happen just as God said it would. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. I believe it. Come on, stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you tonight if you're facing a storm or adversity in your life and you thought prior to this evening that you were being punished or maybe that you had sown and now you're reaping. Maybe you feel like you deserve to have all this trouble. Well, let me tell you something. That's not true. And I don't know who told you all those things and why you're convinced tonight that you have no hope in the future. But I'm going to say to you that it is not true. And God told me last night, everything's going to be all right. I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart. And I'm not just saying that to you. I'm saying that to me. Sometimes people think preachers don't have trouble. I've got trouble with hair on it. I'm telling you, big ugly trouble. Just like you do. But you know what? I've got a God that made an appearance and said it's going to be just like I told you it'll be. And sometimes all you need is one other person to say, I agree with that. I believe that. And that's why we want to pray with you tonight, if that's your circumstance. So altar ministers, if you're here, would you kindly come? Look at this. We have a runway up here of carpet. We've got so much space. Would you come and join me across the front? And if you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I just really need that prayer. Come on, let's bow our heads. And while we're positioning ourselves, Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak right now? Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak into the innermost part of that troubled soul and let them know everything's going to be all right? That they're making a choice tonight to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. That's you. Just lift your hand up. I need that prayer. Yes, yes, yes. Then I want you to come out from where you are. Join with somebody up here right now. Let's pray and believe God together. Shall we? Come on. Come out from where you're standing. Let us pray together. And let us believe God for the victory. Come on. Let's worship. Let's lift up our voice to God. Lift your hands up with me, please, as people are coming to pray. Let's create this atmosphere of faith and atmosphere of miracles and atmosphere of victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Sing that song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Come on up if you need prayer. Come on. Thank you. Father, let this atmosphere be charged with the miraculous. Let this atmosphere, God, be electrified by your glory. Let this atmosphere, God, be faith lifted. Oh, Lord, those that are struggling, those, oh God, that have wondered about what they've done wrong. Father, let them know tonight that you've got their back, that you're covering them. And that they're going to put an island in their life. That you've got a plan for them in their future. Hallelujah. Give you glory, God. We give you glory, God. Thank you, Lord. Circumstance around us. Help us, Lord, not to focus on what we can see. But, Lord, may we tune in to that still small voice of our God that says, it's going to be just like I told you. Help us tonight, God, to recognize the divine destiny of God. And no matter how the enemy tries to tear apart our future, you, O God, make a way where in the natural there doesn't seem to be one. Encourage your people tonight, Father. Let every man and every woman walk out of here tonight with shoulders squared and head lifted, with a energy in their step and with a joy in their belly to know that everything is going to be all right. Bless them tonight, Father. I pray, God, this blessing upon the physical body. I pray blessing in the solical part. And I bless them tonight in the spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Don't forget Sunday, all right? It's going to be awesome. Drive careful on the way home. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. Thanks for being here. God bless you.